Welcome back to the Expediting Change podcast. Yo, I'm overwhelmed with joy today, man. I got two of my brothers in the building today. First off, I got my guy, Sam. I'm going to allow him to introduce himself, but he going to co-host with me today. You know that's a special honor, but I also know that he's going to try and take over the podcast. So when you see it, just get ready for it, all right? Then point it out and then comment. And then next, I got my guy, I got my fam in the building. Y'all know me. Y'all, everybody that watch my podcast, the majority of y'all that watch my podcast, y'all know my personality. Y'all know how I get down. And if you don't, you've learned it over the time watching my podcast. I do not call a lot of people big bro. Man, today, I got my big bro sitting here with me.
Yes, sir.
And we about to get into it on the Expediting Change podcast. As you know, it's these 50, 60,000 foot level conversations. But on Expediting Change, we get into it. So I'm going to ask my guy, we're going to talk about how did you do it? How did you get there? We want to make sure as listeners, as watchers of the podcast that you can see, you can take notes, you can jot it down in case you're a little worried, in case you're getting a little nervous. We're going to let you know that you absolutely can do it because the Expediting Change podcast is for the positive progression of the culture. Why is it you really want to preach, boy? I want to teach more. So let's go and let me start with my guy, Sam, to introduce himself.
All right. Hello, everyone. And thank you. It's an honor to be here with the both of you. Really appreciate you giving me the call. And so, again, Sam Hill and born and raised right here from Buffalo, New York. That's where we're taping today, 716. And, hey, I'm just I'm a leader, change management practitioner, and just really happy to be here. And so thank you. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be good.
No, he's not, y'all. No, he's not. He's not going to be good, man. He's not. And actually, this co-host came out of a dinner that we had. If we really keep it at a stack, we ain't going to talk about the whole dinner. But he was like, Mari, I got some suggestions. And that was 30-minute conversation at the dinner on the suggestions. But
That started maybe a year ago, prior to.
Well, we're not even going to talk about two years ago when I said, my God, I want to do a podcast.
Okay, that's enough. All right, I'm sorry, people, as we digress. I'm sorry.
But get to my big bro, man. What's up, family?
What's going on, baby? How
are
you, man?
Let's go.
Happy to be here.
What's good?
Everything, man. Just staying positive. No complaints.
Introduce yourself to the family.
My name is Adianda Shanana. I'm best known. Today as Valentine on the movie Conflicted, play Valentine, do art, do music, album coming soon, Deported to Buffalo, Volume 1.
Nice.
Y'all stay tapped into that. And I'm honored to be here, you know what I mean? Anything for the progression of our culture, you know what I mean, I'm for. And you, brother, have been that example of accelerating our people. And so I'm also honored to be here along with Sam.
I appreciate it,
Ken. We ain't gonna let Sam take over. We ain't gonna let Mari take over. I ain't taking over. I think we're gonna try to make it balanced out.
Yeah, we're gonna balance of power, baby.
Nah, you know when the chief get with other chiefs, they smoke the peace pipe.
Absolutely.
So I'm gonna make sure y'all do that today.
I like that. I'm still in.
Big bro.
We 2 minutes in.
He already put us in our place.
I told you, big bro. I told you, I don't call a lot of people big bro.
I mean it.
But listen, man, I call you big bro, man. I'm going back, man. We go back. Back to 95.
Yeah.
1995, fam. And I say that and I bring that up because I want to talk about your journey, man. So before we get to all of the dynamic good things that you're doing, man, as I said, you were big bro. I looked up to y'all boys when I was in high school, man.
Man, I know
y'all boys would dress fly, you know what I mean? I ain't had the money to get there yet, but I, you know what I mean? I envisioned it. So let's go all the way back, fam. Let's talk about it.
You know, in high school, man, you know, as you know, like you said, the reason I was able to be fly is I lived a certain lifestyle that I no longer condone today. But everybody's circumstances is different. And, you know, I'm the youngest of five. And the only boy. I'm the baby and only boy. So, you know, for me, watching my mother have two jobs and still struggling.
Yeah.
You know, that actually gave me the initiative, and like you said, we don't keep it 100, to, you know, start playing in the streets at a young age. I started playing in the streets at 12. And a lot of people may get in the streets for different reasons, but for me, I watched my mother not buy herself nothing, not enjoy any money she earned from working, because it was five of us, and she was a single mother, although my stepfather was there, you know, and I watched her and God rest her soul. She's mm-hmm. deceased now, but and she always, if she was alive right now, I'm sitting here, she'd cuss me out about what I'm about to say.
No doubt.
To me, she only had two pair of pants. Mm. You know, two mm-hmm. pair of the good pants or good mm-hmm. outfits. Mm-hmm. And you know, I wrote a song called "My Little Boy" off of my I got so many albums.
Yeah.
Kill 'Em Breathing album. Mm-hmm. And she, when she heard the song, I talked about how, I, you know, she had two pair of pants, these type of things. Mm-hmm. And she said, boy, I had no two pair of pants. I had way more than two pair of pants. Yeah. But for me, being the only boy and the baby, I was spoiled.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem saying that. My mother got me any and everything yeah. I wanted. But I wanted to step up.
Yep.
Like, yo, you know what, man? Let me help out.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So it's funny because I would act like I found money. Mm-hmm. Run in the house, act like I found money. I ain't find nothing.
Yeah.
And give it to her like, oh, my, look what I found.
Yeah.
And guess what? She'll turn right around, give me $20 and stuff to,
you know, the rest in the tuck.
Yeah. And I walk off laughing like, you know, and that was really my introduction to running around, man, in the world. Something again that I don't condone anymore.
Yep.
I know everybody has to make their way through life, man. Yep. And that was how I made mine.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So jumped off at 12, man. And you know, it's been many trials and tribulations. So to anybody thinking about that's the way to go, nah.
Not at all.
Not at all.
But everything happens for a reason, like Absolutely. You said. So what you learn from it? How you come out of it?
You know, to be honest with you, when you young and you impressionable, when, mm-hmm. and at 12, you're impressionable. Like you said, I was watching my cousins. They got the big, you know, I don't want to tell my age, but they got the big four-finger rings and Cadillacs and on twos and Vogues and Adidas suits and Kangos. They used to iron their Kangos.
Yeah.
No, put creases in the Kango.
Yeah.
And, you know, watching all of that, man, and I went to my cousin, never mind his name, and I said, yo, I'm ready.
Yeah.
He said, you ain't ready. I said, okay. About 2 weeks later, I came back.
Yeah.
He said, you ready? And, you know, truth be told, man, that's really how it happened. But it's not, you know, if you want me to get further into it, I've been through a lot, man. Mm-hmm. And you know, so there's no retiring.
No doubt.
From the streets.
No doubt.
You know. The addicts are not the only one addicted.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? That money get addicted.
Absolutely.
Like you said, you know, when you start getting a few dollars out there.
Yeah.
And I ain't talking, you know, I tell a lot of people all the time. There's a difference between, and I don't know if I can be candid.
Absolutely.
Mind being candid.
Yeah.
There's a difference between a drug dealer and a hustler.
Absolutely.
You know, drugs sell themselves.
Absolutely.
And again, I want to be clear. I'm not condoning being in the streets and selling drugs. But this was my path, and this mm-hmm. is where I come from. Mm-hmm. And this is what made me today.
Mm-hmm.
Drugs sell themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the hustler maintains the hustle.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference between drug dealing and hustling.
Absolutely.
And if I could change it, if I could switch it. If you can hustle,
mm-hmm.
do not confuse that word hustling with the street.
Absolutely.
If you can hustle, you can hustle anywhere.
Say that again, man. Don't
if
confuse
If you can
what?
Hustle, don't confuse the hustle with the street. Hustling don't have... It's not something that belongs wholeheartedly Absolutely. To the street hustling.
I hustle clothes, I hustle
I mean
music.
It. If you can hustle
anything that you
anything,
pick.
You can hustle anywhere and anything.
Absolutely.
Because the hustler know how to maintain a hustle. So that was something that I've never did what I did for means to an end.
Mm-hmm.
It was more, means to a means.
Right.
It was means to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could tell you that it's... I ain't seen it yet.
Yeah.
I ain't seen nobody retire from
Absolutely.
That
from
lifestyle.
Yeah.
I've not seen it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you can't get no money, start a business, and get out.
Yeah.
That's not retiring.
Right.
I'm talking about you make enough money doing this that you ain't got to get another job.
Right.
You ain't got to find another hustle.
Right.
And you can live off the rest of the money.
Right.
I ain't seen nobody do it. So if anybody out there telling you you can get rich, they telling you the truth.
Yeah.
But they ain't giving you the other aspects that come with it. You also can get killed.
Yeah.
You also can go to jail for the rest of your life for a long time.
Yep.
Trust me, I know.
Yep.
You know, so if anybody is out there watching this is allured to the trappings of selling drugs,
mm-hmm.
then you are fooling your damn self.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I was enticed by those trappings.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of things that came with it, but I'm thankful to be able to sit here and do this podcast absolutely with you today.
So one thing that I always say with my little stint in the streets is that, as you said, the hustler never comes out of you. Streets never come out of you. But it also made me be in a position where it don't matter who I'm in a boardroom with.
Right.
You ain't going through what I've gone through. And even if you have, then we have and we share that same grit and grind.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So when I'm in that boardroom, I think about what I've been through in my past.
Right.
And we're going to get this deal done. So talk to me about how that fueled you to push and go further, faster, harder. You know what I mean? As you said, you don't condone it no more when you turned it around.
Right. You know, I love that statement you made. And, you know, being small in stature. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't go the short way, you know, just because I know people are watching. And if I can give a real account education of being out here, I was the little one out of the bunch.
Mm-hmm.
So being little, your disposition had to be a little, you know.
I know. I was 115.
Right.
And everybody else was two something.
Right. So, you know, it was more so like you had something to prove, even though you're not announcing. Like, y'all got something to prove because I'm a little shorter or I'm a little younger.
Mm-hmm.
But those things are there. People might not admit it.
Yeah.
But anybody that's been in the streets had something to prove. I'm not soft. I'm not a sucker.
Mm-hmm.
And those are other trappings.
Mm-hmm.
They're delusions. Mm-hmm. Stop it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a way to keep yourself trapped there.
Yeah.
I ain't no sucker. And, and if you mess with me, I'm going to shoot you.
Right, right.
You know, I'm going to fight you.
Mm-hmm.
And I pay somebody to get you, you know. Mm-hmm. And you can get trapped in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's who I was. I was, you know, think because I'm short, you know, I won't fight you. Think because I'm small, I won't shoot you.
Right.
And you can get caught up in that, man. And it's not a lifestyle that I'm proud of anymore. And anybody that's proud of that lifestyle, you're fooling yourself. That's not your corner. It's not your corner.
That's right.
When they kill you there, it'll be somebody else to take that same corner you said was
absolutely
yours. So, you know, I definitely want to state that, that hustling is not something that our people owns. And, and what I mean by own is we're not the ones getting it here.
Absolutely.
You know, but they're giving us the most time for it.
Absolutely.
You know, I was in prison with a guy. He was waiting to go to the feds, and he sold $2 million, got 3 years.
Mm.
We out here killing and shooting each other for corners that ain't ours.
Mm-hmm.
And this man got 2 years, and he stole $2.5 million. This is no bullshit story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was like, damn.
And probably clearing 1.9 by the time you get out.
We out here. He said he was selling eyeballs on the internet. He said that's what he did. He was
selling what?
Eyeballs. Selling eyeballs.
Get that.
You know, where you,
your sad face is like,
yeah, that's
what?
That, that's that where you entice him to invest type. You know, because when he said it to me, I'm like, selling eyeballs. He was like, yeah, you know, I guess it was some type of Ponzi scheme. But my point is,
it's crazy.
Here it is. We think we hustling, and we hustling for kibbles and bits.
Yeah.
I'm locked up with a man who said he was in there waiting to go to the feds to do 3 years for stealing $2 million.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me say that again. We killing each other for half a key, quarter key, eight ball, whatever case may be, and they giving us 30 years.
30.
Kingpin.
Throwing the book at you.
You know, they just recently, I will say this, for anybody who think this is a contradiction, they just recently started getting the Wall Street dudes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They just recently started getting them.
Yeah.
You know, people been getting away with Ponzi scheme. Yeah. I guess what I'm trying to say is when you have that mentality that the street's going to get you out of here, you are fooling yourself.
Absolutely.
You are delusional. I don't care who say different.
Absolutely.
You know, you have to find a different route. And, you know, I've always been talented. You know, not ashamed to say it. I did the Michael Jackson. Had the little beaded jacket, Thriller. Watched all the videos.
You got to send me some videos so I can cut it into the podcast, man.
I had all the, you know, I had all the little rhinestone gloves, the fluffs, the penny loafers.
Come
with
on,
the quarter
man. I know
them.
You almost half my life and I ain't know that.
Yeah, man. And that's where it started for me, man. You know, as far as being an entertainer.
Yeah.
That, you know, they was like, yo, you gifted.
Yeah.
And, of course, I don't want to make it seem like I'm harping on myself. But
that's what you're here to do, man.
That's where it started. You know, that bug of being an entertainer.
Yeah.
You know, doing a Michael Jackson, and my mother always encouraged me. Y'all know how this go. I swear to God, I only seen it one time, the Kanye West video, when What song was that when he was like, his mother was like, yo, do the Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. That was really me. Yeah. I said, oh,
that
shit.
That was on the Netflix special.
I was like, oh, shit. Yeah. That was me.
Right.
Yeah. That was me. My mother used to get up, her, have her company, man, and I'm wake up, see, I wait to wipe the sleep out of my eye. Next thing I know, in front of her friends, I'm doing the Michael Jackson.
Right, right.
But when I was done, even though I was half asleep, when I was done and they clapped for me and they put a few dollars in my pocket,
yeah,
it was a great feeling.
Yep.
And remember, you know, I jumped off the porch at 12.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of those things go away is what I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get trapped in the street,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of the talents, because there was a lot of things that I believe I could have done besides that. But so the addict isn't the only one addicted. You know, I used to draw all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I went to McKinley for advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Got kicked out. God rest her soul. Miss Barton kicked me out over a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
But I never got to explore my artistic talent because I was trapped in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never pursued. How can I put this? I never pursued any ability, or you know, artistically that I had that didn't have somewhat or some implication back to the street, which is not the thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other words, it was like it was easy for me to do music and because the stuff I was rapping about was street stuff.
No doubt.
You know, to the point where the artistic side wasn't. It wasn't viewed as, yo, that's street too.
Yeah.
It's like when you hear the lyrics, you're like, yo, I was there when you did that. I stood on the block with you when that happened.
Yeah.
You know, when you're doing art, it's like, oh, man. Like,
hold up. This is abstract.
Yeah, you know, it ain't, you know, and that's sad for us, man.
Yeah.
We're not, our talents, we don't have to get to the age we are now to respect our talents. I think that when you're young and impressionable, we give too much power to people to approve our talent.
Absolutely.
Instead of believing in yourself first, because you got to have that belief. And this is why we're sitting here today.
No doubt.
You know, I believed in myself.
Yep.
And if nobody else going to pick you up, it got to be you.
So if I'm an artist, and Sam, don't let me take over, man. Don't just cut me off, man. Huh? Just cut me off.
All right, let's get to it then.
All right.
I'm trying to be nice. No, let's go with what are you doing today? Let's talk about what you're doing today.
Oh, man.
And then we'll get into how those success skills on how you got there.
Today I'm a starving artist. What I mean by starving is a lot of the projects I'm involved in are either independent or I'm doing myself.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't understand, like, you know, I thank the Lord for the blessing. Let me say that first and foremost. Like, I'm doing my art right now. I've been heavy into my art, writing a couple of scripts, waiting, Lord willing, Conflicted 2 is on the schedule. Mm-hmm. That's scheduled to be shot. We already did the casting call for that. But I got short film coming out with my album. That's already done. And I know everybody that, listen, like I just said, this stuff ain't cheap. It costs a few dollars when you're doing it by yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think that people tend to neglect that. They see you like you see you on TV, think you rich.
Yep.
No, that ain't how. I'm not rich. I'm not rich. You know, so, you know, and it's a struggle, but it's one of those feelings like, you know, I got my art going. I got the music going. I got the film, the movies and film going. You know, I got the fashion going. You know, I just recently went and started a DBA called Art Walking.
Okay.
Because I have a clothing line coming out, and it's actually going to feature my artwork on the clothes.
That's dope.
So the name of the clothing line is called Art Walking. And I guess what I'm trying to say is people tend to see you and see everything you got going on, and I'm quite sure y'all can relate, and automatically associate that with money.
Yep.
The monetary.
Yep.
You know, it's said that, you know, if you start a business, and let's go back to hustling, if you are a hustler, you should be prepared not to make money for the first 2 to 5 years.
Absolutely.
Because that money, any money you make has to go back business.
Yeah. Flipping it.
You know, and that's why I love what you're doing, bro. This is what we have to teach our people.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see me today.
Mm-hmm.
And then count my money for me.
Right.
You know, you can't say, yo, man, you fly, man. I like your ride, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't see the journey that got me. Right. You don't see the journey that got me to ride.
I ain't an overnight success.
Right.
Unless I'm a 10-year overnight success.
You know, I love you for that. So, you know, how I feel today is two parts, and Lord willing, it makes sense to you. I'm elated, ecstatic. I'm also overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because of the abundance of blessings, mm-hmm. and it's only one me.
Right. We were just talking. We were just having that conversation.
You know, I'm trying to get my album done. That costs money.
Yeah.
For the most part, the recordings are done.
Yeah.
The mixing and mastering are done.
Yep.
You know, I'm going to say it right here on the show first. Mm-hmm. I got 5 albums done right now. Nobody's ever heard yet.
Mm.
But I got them in the cut.
Yep.
So that I could release them. Bang, 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 bang.
Yep.
And that costs money to do.
Yep.
But is that all part of a plan?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
So this isn't anything you're just doing.
No. I do apologize. No. Yes. Yeah. I'm glad you said that. Thank you, Sam.
I told you it was nice with it.
Yeah. So no. It's all part of a plan. But what gets overwhelming is you'll have your own personal projects.
Yeah.
You know, and people that want to work with you, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
They want to work with you. Yo, man, get on this album. And you have your own album to finish. So I got to come get on your album.
Mm-hmm.
Those verses I could have saved for my album.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I don't mean that's what you do. I'm saying in the sense of when you working on you and then you have to be over here, you're obligated over mm-hmm. there, or you gave your word, you'll be here, and you gave your word, you'll be there. It becomes a little overwhelming because mm-hmm. you're only one person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm working on 3 scripts right now. I just got a phone call today about another script.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and, you know, this is not something that I announce all the time. Sometimes you don't make announcements because some people, either consciously or unconsciously, stop you from going where you're trying to getting where you're trying to be.
Absolutely.
So I'm really trying to learn not to announce everything all the time. You know, and the trappings of social media, and you want people to be involved and engaged in what you're doing. Sometimes you have to just work. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm working on the art. I'm working on the music. I'm working on the movies. I'm working on the fashion. You know what I mean? So I'm anything artistically, basically, I'm tied all the way in. I just went and bought a sewing machine.
Nice.
I ain't lying.
Nice.
About 5 sewing books. I don't know how to sew at all.
About to learn, though.
But I'm going to learn because I'm not wearing somebody else's clothes for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
When I can, like y'all brothers doing. When we can learn something and then put those who are behind us, and I don't mean behind us as if they need us, but educating.
Yeah.
You know what? Let's make your own clothes. This is what mm-hmm. you should do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm doing is I'm seeing a lot of similarities between the two of you.
That's
right?
My guy.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to give you a quick break. I'm going to go to him and then uh-huh. he's going to pass it to you as you drink your water.
Yes, sir. I do need it. Did you see that? That I needed it?
Hey, man.
I appreciate it. Go ahead. Do your thing.
But what I want y'all to do is now with similar backgrounds or trajectory, How do you rope in faith? How do you hustle
mm-hmm.
right on the up and up,
mm-hmm.
but still ensure you're aligned with your values and principles mm. and connected with the man upstairs?
Mm.
Great question.
So first off, don't allow anybody to push that on you. So one of my favorite statements is, I'm not going to tell you what religion to believe in, but it's important for you to believe in something that's higher than yourself, period. Mm. Because once you believe in something that's higher than yourself and you put words into the air, the universe makes them actionable.
I mean
because it. God going to take care of it. and I came to that conclusion when I almost lost my life in like 1996, I believe it was. Mm. And I should have died in a car accident, and I did not. And then I was on the altar crying like crazy. But
I mean it.
I also had that shift between my mom's a Catholic, and she black, a black Catholic, but I attended a Baptist church, and my girlfriend, who I was tight with her father, was Muslim. So me seeing the synergies and the similarities was like, well, wait a minute. I don't want any man to tell me who and what to believe in.
Mm.
So that's when I just started to shift a little bit and made sure that I had my own relationship with the higher power, with God. Whether you believe in Jesus as simply being a prophet or whether you believe him as the Trinity. But believe in something that's higher than yourself, and then what that'll do is now you start to align yourself with what you believe in, because when you believe in a higher power, I'm never going to wrong my brother right here. I'm never going to wrong you. And I ain't grow up like that. I grew up a beast. I ain't care who. You in my way, I'm bulldozing you. But to your question, that shift in lifestyle and that shift in thought really came from a higher power saying to me, yo, Myra, you got to sit down. You got to sit down. I'm going to put you down. I'm going to put you down. And when I got put down, I came back up like, yo, here I am as a better man. It's a good question.
No, thank you.
You know, same as him. Truth be told, I am Muslim, mashallah. I've been through some things in life, man. They shot me twice, cut me in the face. You know, so like him, many times I could have lost my life. You know, I had a studio built from the ground up. You know, Fez took it. Took money out of the bank. Was trying to indict me for money laundering. My big brother is in the Fez right now. We're talking 98, 99. Mm-hmm. Been in there since. And, you know, to come out of that, you know, is a blessing. So I've always been a God-fearing man. And you know, I'm quite sure the brother feel the same way, that when you are a God-fearing man, you are a righteous man. You know, there are always means to an end and means to means. And some of us, when you, because you talked about having principles and certain things like that. So I am a man of principle. If I give you $150, if you can't pay it back, and you give me 50, I can accept that. But don't spend $300 in front of me knowing you owe me 150. That may upset me. Do not confuse that with being petty.
That's right.
We're talking about being a principal. I'm not going to owe you $150 and spend $300 in front of you without at least giving you something. Those are principles. And these values, as a God-fearing man, like Mari said, when you believe and have faith in the Lord, nobody can go against you. You know, I was around a friend of mine. He was talking about people trying to blackball me. And then he turned to me, and like you said, this is a true story. This is about a week ago. He turned to me and said, people really don't like you either. This is a true story. He said, people don't like you either. I said, what do you mean people don't like me either? He said, man, you know how you go, man. Motherfuckers are scared of you. I don't, if that's okay to say.
Absolutely.
All right, well, let's get into it.
Absolutely.
Motherfuckers are scared of you and this and that. And you touched on it, I believe it was you. People hold on to the old you.
Yeah.
No matter how much you elevate in your personal self.
Say it one more
I
time.
I know you from 95 in school. You're pissed on yourself. In the I ain't talking about you. Anybody who did. Hold on, let me make that clear.
Yeah.
And now you the guy who peed on himself. You was the bum in school. Yeah. Well, I was the bum yesterday. I ain't the bum to say. I never said I wouldn't sleep on the floor. And I said, this is my quote. And I mean this right now. I never said I wouldn't sleep on the floor. I said I wouldn't stay there.
That's right.
That's not who I am in those principles and as a man of God. I fear Allah. I fear him. And I ask for forgiveness every day. Lord, forgive me for my past sins, my present sins, and sins I commit in the future, because none of us are without sin. So when we speak of being in these positions of having a voice, and we all got voices, what I mean is platforms to, you know, I try to be careful when on what I post, right? I try to be careful in what I say, not because I can't sit up here and say, fuck everybody. I ain't scared of you, Sam. I'm not. Hold on, let me say that again. I'm not scared of you, Sam. I don't mean I don't respect you.
Absolutely.
You see? I hope you're not scared of me. That don't mean you don't respect me.
Absolutely.
And when you are a man of principle, my principle should come through more than me trying to prove that you gotta respect me. I'm gonna make you respect me.
Absolutely.
You know, and this is the culture that a lot of our young brothers and sisters are in. I'm glad from where we came up, because it's rough today.
Yeah.
They gotta get diamond chains and big watches and $500,000 cars.
Yeah.
All we needed was a dookie rope.
Absolutely.
We was in.
Or a fat herringbone.
We was in. Dookie rope, whoa, man. Pair shell to Adidas, you was in.
Good.
Right. Now you need 50 pairs of Louis.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and I say that to say this. Because I don't want to get off topic. I know I can talk. But I was spoken by whom? You know, again, he said, people don't like you. I said, I ain't never been one concerned with people's opinions of me.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Because what you ask, my faith in the Lord is way more powerful than people's opinions
about me. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know.
And both of you guys ooze confidence.
Believe it, you better say it.
Both of y'all.
No, that's real.
Ooh, both of us. Confidence, period. Is that from your faith?
I think
was it's... And is it something that you were born with, or is something that over time...
You mind if I take this one first?
No, go ahead, take it.
Yo, let me tell you something, man. That's so...
That is a beautiful question, and I'm glad, man, brother, man, that you said that. People confuse arrogance with confidence, man. Mm.
Specifically for the black man,
though. Boy.
For the black, because a white male could say everything you would say, and he's a confident man. But man, the moment you say it, as a brown-skinned man, you arrogant.
Oh, watch this. Wait a minute. I'm going to look into the camera. I think I just touched a button.
You did. No, you did. You know, it's you know, like Mari was saying, man, the culture we come from, man, if you ain't got the latest and greatest, you ain't in.
Yeah.
If you ain't got the latest and greatest, you can't date her. She don't want to date you.
Yeah.
We can't get involved in those trappings because those are the trappings that get us in the street.
Yeah.
I want to have a flashy car so I can get the girl that I like because she like him with the flashy car. Yeah. Those are the trappings that keep us trapped in the street, that get us in prison, that get us in graves. You talking to two who know what's that about? They shot me twice, cut me in the face once. I'm still here by the grace of the Lord.
Yeah.
So when you say that confidence, I fear God and not you. So when you, if you tell me I'm a black boy, I'm going to say where? Because I'm going to put me some money in my pocket. You ain't got to get me to get off my couch. You ain't got to say, yo, fam, get up, man, and go get you a dollar. I don't care if I put $1 in my pocket a day. Get me one, Sam.
Incremental improvement.
I'm going to get me one. So that's not arrogance. That's confident. I don't need you to get up and tell me, put some money in your pocket. Hey, yo, bro, matter of fact, don't chew your food. Matter of fact, don't cook it. I'm going to stuff it down your throat. I'm going to chew it for you and put it down your throat. I don't need that. So I've never been one of a fan of the handout. I don't need a handout. But I'll accept a hand up. Yo, Adi, man, you know, they got a position to open up at my job. You know, if you're willing to work hard, I'm going to recommend you. Here's the problem. But if you're not willing to work hard, don't even accept it.
Absolutely.
So stay there. So as you think about where you are tonight, both of you, successful men, black men, and so much going for you guys. You guys are hustlers. You guys are supreme confidence. Supreme confidence. But talk about the power of your network.
Well, you looked at me, fam. What?
No, because the reason I looked at him, Sam, and I have no problem saying it, is because I love the brother movement. And I have no problem saying this. Where he is, and I don't mean in a financial realm. And I, of course, I'm not lowering that either. Where he is, far as his movements with the youth, his movements with the with our communities, is also where I want to be. But the thing is, I was incarcerated for 8 years. They tried to give me life plus 25. And so to come back out and try to recapture, you know, the essence of, okay, I want to be involved. So the brother sitting right here, I tell him all the time, anytime you got something going on, let me know. I want to be involved. I want to be a part of it. Because I also want to give back. So I respect Mari highly in his movements in our community, and I'm trying to reach that level. So I look up to the brother when it comes to these things, man, the brother is doing it. Both you brothers, by the way, doing your things when it comes to our community. And Lord willing, I pray that you brothers can assist me in reaching that level also, because ultimately you have to give back. I believe if you have any, even a monetary level of success, then it's our job. You can't hold knowledge and hoard it. You should share it with the people, man.
Abundance comes with giving.
And we need that more in our community.
Abundance comes with giving.
Yes, sir.
For network, my dad used to say to me, who you know will get you in the door, but what you know will keep you there. So your network is your net worth. But we oftentimes consider that network about the present and who we can call on right now. So while fam is sitting here today, that was my network. I knew if I needed something, I could call him. I could hit him up. If I tried to jump in the streets, he would slap me in the back of my head. You know what I mean? So the network goes from when you pop out to everybody that you meet. And never burn a bridge, because you never know when you're going to run back across somebody, as much as possible, because we human and we make mistakes. And then you just continue to build that network with also an understanding that network doesn't equals I got to talk to you every single day.
Right.
When my guy called me, I pick up the phone, whether it's 1 year, 2 year, 3, 5 years, 10 years. We not going to ever let that time pass. Right. But we also, as a people, have to understand that network means we're going to always be locked in, always, no matter what's going on. So I think we confuse it with you have to give me a handout, like Addy just said, and it ain't about that. You know what I mean? We were on the phone earlier, and I said, listen, fam, this only the second podcast in the town, but you up. You know what I mean? Yeah. It ain't no handout, but you, fam, you got a ton of stuff going on, and I need you on this podcast. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So your network is obviously key. It's key.
It is. It's key. But we ain't doing no ass kissing, though.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, that confidence that you talk about, like, you know, I get phone calls all the time about, yo, why such and such ain't do this with you yet? Why these people ain't move with you yet? And I'm thinking to myself, I was born by myself. Mm-hmm. I don't know who owe me nothing, because honestly, the world don't owe you shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I apologize, but I'm just being me.
Mm-hmm.
If you run around here thinking the world owe you something, then you are delusional.
In trouble.
I keep using that word, if you pay attention, because the word delusional doesn't mean that you're crazy and seeing things that ain't there.
Right.
Delusional mean that you may believe in something so firmly,
mm-hmm.
but it's no cognitive correlation to it. In other words, you should psych yourself up. Mm-hmm. It's very important to psych yourself up. But never psych yourself out. Never psych yourself out. Meaning this. I believe I can achieve because I'm the type of person who doesn't believe in failure.
No doubt.
I believe failing is only attempting not to succeed.
Absolutely.
You can fail your way to success.
Fail forward is what I call it. Failing forward.
Fast.
Yeah. All you got to do, you can fail a million times on how not to invent the light bulb. All you got to do is succeed one time. In order to do that, it got to be forward, like you said.
Yeah.
It got to be progressive.
Yeah.
And so that's why I don't believe in failure. That's why I'm not one of the ones who look at what people could do for me, how they could do it for me, like you said. This relationship and this bond has been here and intact for 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to see him for 5 years, like you said. But he knows that we are progressive people. And you yourself just said that you in tune. Like, damn, I see your brother's confident. And that confidence doesn't have to do with $1 amount.
Mm-hmm.
The word success literally means obtaining a goal.
Mm-hmm.
Watch me reach for this water. Watch me drink it.
You obtain the goal.
I obtain the goal.
Yeah.
And people tend to believe that money is.
I didn't even get that.
Yeah.
Oh, you missed that one? I got it.
Oh, you missed it.
I got it.
Oh, you missed that one.
I did miss it. Mm. I got it now. So, my man.
So the thing I just proved simply is people tend to use the word success with monetary.
Yeah.
Now, monetary is the second definition of success. Monetary gain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to succeed, you first have to move into action, you know, and I think people confuse your success with it being theirs. When you succeed, they succeed.
Ooh.
You can't do that. You can't do that because the world don't owe you nothing. And I've never been the type of person that watch you, and I'm going to sit back until you make it, and then I'm going to get on the beach with you. We got to stop doing that.
Yeah.
You know, I got family members. No offense to them. I love them to death. Can't rap a lick. Want me to put him on song with me? Right. Hold on, you my nephew, you my cousin.
Right,
right.
I'm not putting you on a song because I know you. You got to be able to rap
talent
to get on the song.
Absolutely.
So your relationship with me doesn't get you on the song.
Yep.
Is what I'm saying. So I'm quite sure your brothers have experiences with anything you do.
Yep.
People that know you think automatically because they know you.
Mm-hmm.
You supposed to.
It's the ticket.
I grew up. You live right next door. You spent the night, slept in my bed, ate my mama food. That was, we was little kids. It's business. Yep. It's not personal.
Never. Yeah. Never, ever.
It's not personal. So to tie everything up, man, you should be God-fearing. You should not hoard knowledge. You should share with the people, but not to the point you starve.
Mm-hmm.
Don't starve yourself, because I can't save you from drowning until I save me.
Absolutely. Right? On the airplane, they tell you, put your mask on first before you put on
the That's really where I'm at right now. I'm trying to, and I talk to my kids about this. Like, I've never taught my kids, to depend on me. I never taught them, nor will I. If my kids are sitting right here, and Lord willing, they may call in or be able to make a comment on this podcast, I've never taught my kids to depend on me. Don't call me first. Call me last.
Hmm.
Most people might not get that. This is what I tell my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Your job is to give your kids a better life than the one me and your mother gave you.
Absolutely.
That's how you break the cycle of poverty.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know, I ate with the rats and roaches so my kids didn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
They know nothing about rats and roaches.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So how do you move away from that? You got to teach your kids better than how your parents taught you.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you went through as a child, your children should not go through it to the best of your ability.
Absolutely.
So I never teach my kids to depend on me. Don't call me first, call me last. Why? You have to go see if you can get it done.
Yes, right.
If I teach them, oh, I want that dad to get it for me.
Life easy.
You ain't teaching them nothing.
Absolutely.
So that's why I respect people like Warren Buffett and them who say they ain't leaving their kids nothing.
Nothing.
Of course, y'all don't have to. Y'all don't have to. They got enough money.
Right, right.
Well, I got to leave y'all my money.
Right.
So teach I think them how
that,
to fish.
Right. Yeah. So I think that in order to have a productive society like we not sitting here for no reason. We're sitting here because the Lord ordained and it seemed fit for it.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, we are movers and shakers. I'm going to say that. We are movers and shakers, and that has nothing to do with no dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Has nothing to do with a dollar. Has nothing to do with what he got going on, what I got going on, and what you got going on. It has the connotations of you know who you are. I know who I am. I'm going to be here. When I leave out this door, I'm going to be me. I promise. Mm-hmm. It ain't got nothing to do with you. But ooh, when we form this circle right here,
yeah,
it's better to come together and powwow. You know, yep, that's what the Indians used to
absolutely
do. The old Negro spirituals, they used to sit around the fire and what they call build. That's what we're doing right now.
Absolutely.
We're just doing it in the open form.
And we're recording it so everybody can see it so then we can give it back.
You know, so there's going to be people who watch this and be like, man, when I be with that motherfucker, man, all you talk about is bitches and hoes.
Why are you pointing at me?
No, not you.
See, like, not wait, you. You're getting in trouble. You're getting in trouble.
You got to clean that up. Right. You clean that Mari joint.
I got you.
Okay.
All right, not you, Sam. All right, my man. Anybody there around. And because people perception, people see with their eyes and then form a belief.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we talked about a minute ago, they know the old Sam. They don't want to know the new Sam.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going to say this openly, and I've never said this, I don't think, on any podcast. I'm more of an intellectual than I am anything else.
No doubt.
I like to read for information, not entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my friends don't talk intellectual shit. So I spend most of my time talking bullshit because most of my friends talk bullshit.
Mm.
When I'd rather talk intellectual shit.
Mm-hmm.
Not taking nothing from my friends like they dummy. Yeah,
absolutely.
That ain't what I'm saying.
No, we get it.
But I'd rather talk about financial freedom.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather talk about Basquiat, Warhols, culture shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not claiming if you're not talking about these things, you're not cultured.
Right.
So don't come with the...
You ain't got to qualify.
Right.
It's expediting change.
So,
we get it.
So my point is, I'd rather talk about intellectual things because I've always been fascinated with the mind. But most people don't ask me that.
Mm.
They say, yo, you speak good. I didn't know I was trained to speak like a damn fool. I am not a bumbling idiot.
Mm.
And I make no apology for that.
Absolutely.
But if you never had a conversation with me, do have a conversation with me, most of the time you're talking bullshit, then you would never know who's an intellectual.
And who's not. So listen, last question, which is that we always ask on the Expediting Change podcast. We appreciate everything that you say. We appreciate the work and the grind and your story.
Appreciate you.
But what are you doing today? Because we want equity now. We don't want equity yesterday. We don't want equity 10 years from now. We want equity now so we can ultimately get liberation for the positive progression of the culture. So what are you doing specifically, my guy, for liberation, for equity now?
You know, like I said, first and foremost, you can't save no one else from drowning. So you save yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to reestablish myself back into society, although I've been home for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm still transitioning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from going from facing the rest of my life in jail, and you know my story. They tried to give me life plus 25.
Mm-hmm.
It is a blessing to be sitting back here with you guys, man. And I am currently reestablishing myself and trying to reestablish my relationship with my foundation, which is my children.
No doubt.
And it's funny you ask that because I joke, but I'm serious.
Mm-hmm.
They ask me, how much you want for a painting? I say $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't give me $100,000, it ain't for sale. I'll sell you a print for $30.
Right.
Mm.
And this is no lie. I'm making these paintings right now, and I don't know if I'm going to sell them. I'll probably give them to most of my children and tell them to hold on to them.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, let me say that. So you ask them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to make these paintings. Tell them to hold on to them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm currently working with my son. My son is he's a cinematographer.
Mm-hmm.
He shoots most of my videos, and it feels great.
Yep.
My ultimate goal with him is open up a film company.
Legacy.
My daughters, you know, Some of them in accounting. My other daughter got her bachelor's in psychology, mm-hmm. going back for her master's. I ain't surprised. Mm-hmm. So in order for me, you know, I think Jay said it or somebody said it, yo C's get with his C's, marry mm-hmm. my C's.
That's how we so keep this is, money in the family.
This is what we have to do. I have to tighten my shit. You know, you can't ride down the street with a flat tire, I promise. If you do, that system on that side, I don't know what it's called because I, you know.
It's going to be out.
You know, after the tire go flat, what you riding on after that?
Yeah, straight rim.
The rim. All right, and after the rim, what you riding on? Your brakes or whatever? If you ride like that, eventually it's going to break. You got to get it fixed.
Absolutely.
So for me, I'm currently working on reestablishing myself mm-hmm. that I may have these conversations mm-hmm. with you and build with you more on a level where I can have better input
absolutely.
That they ain't today.
No doubt.
You know, I'm trying to reestablish me mm-hmm. that I may contribute better to society. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to sound selfish and for anybody that may be watching, but you have to get your house in order.
Absolutely. That
you know,
selfish.
You can't, you know, it's you facts. Can't, you can't come outside talking about people's houses and how nasty the food is if you ain't got nothing to eat in your house.
No doubt.
You know, so I'm really trying to get myself together. I'm thankful for all the blessing that the Lord has blessed me with. And able to be, excuse me, able to build with brothers like yourself in a positive, enlightening manner, man, that we may push our community and our society mm-hmm. forwardly progressive. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm on.
You are
that's
ready.
Why, look,
you are ready.
That's why I'm sitting here with you today. Absolutely. I tell you, Sam, ask him, I tell him all the time, anything you got going on, mm-hmm. that ain't anger, that's emphasis.
No doubt.
I say, Mari, anything you got going on, let me know. I want to be involved.
Absolutely.
Because I know the brother ain't going to involve me in something that ain't forward progress. Mm-hmm. Y'all don't know this. So I'm going to tell you something about what he said to me earlier coming here. And I want to end it with this.
Okay.
Brother said, yeah, we're going to go to such and such, and this is where it's at, and I'm just letting you know, he wanted to make sure I was comfortable coming here.
Yeah.
Do you remember what I said to you when you said that?
We said a lot. Which part?
I said, yo, I know you, brother. I know you not
right.
on no shiesty.
No treachery.
None of that. Because mm-hmm. I know your character, what you talked about. He wanted to make sure, though. This is the type of brother he is, that I was comfortable. Mm-hmm. Brother, this is the environment we going into. It ain't on no BS. You're going to be good. I said, brother, you ain't got to tell me that. I know who I'm with.
Yeah.
You're going to be the first to kill a motherfucker for me. I ain't worried. And I don't mean that literally. So, for mean, the people that,
a little while ago, man. Right. A little while ago.
But in other words, the brother wanted me to know the environment I'm bringing you into is safe.
Absolutely.
And we need that. And now, commend you, brother, for
appreciate
that.
Appreciate you, Kane.
You know, so that's the, those are people I want to be around.
Yeah.
Brothers like yourself who elevating. Ain't got nothing to do with no money. Nobody went in their pocket today and gave nobody no dime. Mm-hmm. But this is what we need to keep moving the
culture forward, man.
Absolutely.
Culture forward,
good
baby.
Choice of words.
Culture
you beat
forward.
Me to it.
A culture forward.
Sam, I think he just one up me. See that? He knew I was looking for something like that. Sam, you just
no,
witnessed
that
it.
That ain't one up.
He knew.
That's love.
Look, hey, yo, Sam,
that's
I'm
the
over,
bridge. That's
hey, yo,
assist.
Look, I'm over here like this. I'm trying to pull the words out my mouth. That's why I'm like this. I'm like, yo, what's the? And he come right with the perfect
come right
word.
In, fam.
Thank you, brother.
Come
I appreciate
right in,
it, man.
Family.
And
you
I appreciate
ready.
You for having me.
You
all y'all, ready. Man.
That's what it's all about.
Shout out, man.
It's all about.
Listen, this. It's I want to say it's tough to close out, man. It's I'm typically ready because y'all all know my listeners. I don't pre-write nothing. I come in the booth
That's
and
right.
spit. But he talked about so much, man. So in this wrap up, what I'm gonna talk about is making sure that you have the confidence through your belief in God, your belief in a higher power, to be able to take the steps to fail forward, as opposed to doing and being influenced by the things that are around you. And just because the people or the things that are around you are doing some and different things that you don't want to do, it does not define you. Mm-hmm. So make sure that you have the confidence, not the arrogance, to go out and do what you need to do, what's best for you, and making sure that your house is straight, your house is clean, before you go out there criticizing other people. This has been the Expediting Change Podcast. I appreciate y'all. We'll be back.